There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is a Hat Trick
podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't.
Think of it like this. If the TV show is a high valued football trophy, then we're the Club World Cup.
It's a dig off the bat.
Great trophy. Well worth it.
It's a meaningless trophy.
I'm a Chelsea fan. I think it's great.
I don't think you should be saying that on a national platform.
I think we should have a badge on our kit for the next 4 years to represent the fact we won that competition. So,
what, that really important competition that everyone cares a lot about.
Everyone's talking about.
Trump's talking about.
We'll get into that later, won't we?
We will get into that later. It's so embarrassing for anyone to be aware of it, let alone
to be a Chelsea supporter,
let alone celebrate it.
It's almost as embarrassing as being a Spurs fan and still banging on about the Europa League.
Mate. Champions of Europe.
Can you guys squabble in your own time?
Champions of Europe. Oh, my God.
Champions of Europe with some terms and conditions.
I think PSG might have something to say about it.
Well, we'll see who wins the European Super Cup.
Well, neither of you support Stoke City.
All right, Queenie wins.
And that means I win.
Yeah.
But, like, technically, PSG won Champions League, but we beat PSG.
Oh, my God,
so we are the champions.
I'm so sorry.
Emerald?
Beaters.
You can call for Emerald all you like. She's not here this week.
I often do.
Which I do worry about us doing this without Emerald.
The podcast or just everything?
Yeah, just going through life.
Yeah.
She has apparently, though, left us a voice note in time-honored tradition. Do you guys want to have a listen?
Yes.
Let's have a bloody listen.
Hello. Sorry to not be with you this week. I've just been really inspired by a memoir I read recently. So I'm out hiking along the coast of Cornwall. Weirdly, though, I do keep getting lost because a lot of the walking routes in the book seem to be completely made up. But hopefully I'll be back in time for next week. On to my bit of news for today, which is a fashion update for you guys.
One for you, Jack.
So we heard last week that parkas are back in, thanks to the Oasis comeback.
Thanks.
Well, on a similar note, I was drawn in by the headline, "Chimps are sticking grass and sticks in their butts, seemingly as a fashion trend." So I know that some of you are already into this craze, Jack, but this grass in butt accessory is actually first worn by a group of chimpanzees at the Chimfunshi Wildlife Orphanage in Zambia recently. Jake Brooker, a psychologist and great apes researcher, which is my new dream job, by the way, said he was shocked that the chimps have invented a new trend of inserting grass and sticks into their butts and simply letting them dangle there for no apparent reason. Other than, obviously, it looks incredibly cool. One of the researchers said that chimps can get swept up by trends and that it's not just humans who like silly little pointless cultural ideas that spread amongst people. So I guess she's talking about things like the ice bucket challenge or Nick Clegg. Anyway, that's my exciting fashion news for you. But I will leave with a question for you guys. What fashion trend would you bring back? And I'll see you next week if I make it home. Everyone here is giving me really dirty looks for saying I want to experience Cornwall exactly like the author of this memoir did. Bye for now.
That was fantastic.
Right, firstly, right, what I do in my spare time is no one else's business. Right.
Jack's culture is not your costume.
And secondly,
for any chimps listening,
I don't just let it dangle. I do a move and it sort of jiggles around a bit. So that's the difference.
Do you do that thing dogs do where they drag themselves across the floor to try and get it out?
No, I'm not so uncouth. Thank you. I have someone who extracts it for me.
You have a professional.
Excellent. I would bring back armour. I think that was a great time in British history when we were like knights and shit.
It would make it harder for you to stab people.
I didn't say everyone would have good armour.
No.
I think from like a political standpoint, has there been someone recently that's had like a distinct style?
Rishi Sunak had the...
Tiny little trousers.
Tiny trousers.
I think the short trousers I would bring back for Rishi Sunak because then it would make me feel less conscious of the fact that most of my clothes don't fit because of my ridiculous size.
Make them stand out.
Keir Starmer walking into PMQs in three-quarter lengths. Yes, please.
That's more like it.
Or zip-off trousers halfway through. He gets a bit heated.
Well, as fascinating as pulling grass out of your arse is, we should move on to another type of arse. It's round one, and the big story this week is Donald Trump's startling realisation that Vladimir Putin might not be a good guy. He got there in the end. So, as the peace-seeking president he is, he's decided to arm Ukraine with more defensive and offensive weaponry in its war with Russia. Jack, does this still count as a U-turn when it comes to Trump? Or is it... just however he's feeling in the morning.
Yeah. It's weaving. I think that's it. He doesn't do U-turns, does he?
He U-turns on the U-turn.
Yeah. I think it's quite funny because people suddenly go, oh, maybe he's not so bad. But then he carries on and continues, you know, what he says in the Oval Office and starts complaining about Biden's auto-pen signatures and goes off on some absolute random stream of consciousness. But I really enjoyed that Mark Rutte was there. He used to be the Dutch PM.
He's his new best mate.
And he's really demonstrating that kind of new Trump style because saying about the NATO deal in the Oval Office, he was like, this is really big. This is really big. He's learned to just sort of dumb everything down. And also he was the one who previously called him daddy.
Yeah, he was the first person to do that, which is like the head of NATO. Come on, get your act together.
But you say that, it worked.
Yeah.
Since he said that, Trump has been so pro-Europe.
He loves him. And despite the fact, you know, being his child doesn't always end up with the best results, I think Europe have actually worked out all right, you know.
We're not quite doing as well as Don Jr., but we're doing better than Tiffany.
I think on the rankings, we're maybe like, if we're the extra child, 3 out of 6, maybe.
You know it's grim when we're having to compare ourselves to... which one of the Trump children are we?
Yeah, it's not great for Europe. I thought it was quite funny that a lot of people have been reminding Trump that when he came into power again 6 months ago, he said, oh, I'm going to end the war in Ukraine on day one. And then he didn't. And then he spent a long time saying Putin was great. And now this week he's starting to go, huh, maybe he's not such a great guy. But there was an amazing quote, I don't know if you saw this, from Trump, where he said about Putin, he fooled Clinton, he fooled Bush and Obama. He didn't fool me. It's sort of like, I knew all along.
I also like, did you see the thing he said about when he speaks to Melania after a call? He tells Melania that he's had a nice phone call with Putin. And Melania says, really? Well, another city just got hit, you know, in Ukraine.
Yeah.
I sort of love the idea that she's basically like his BBC Breaking News alert.
Yeah.
I'm convinced these conversations are him imagining that she's there and he's actually talking to his hand that's got eyeballs drawn on it.
Yeah, she's set up a load of cardboard cutouts around.
You're doing really well, Donald.
He keeps using it as an after-dinner speech, though. I think he told that story and then it got a really big reaction, so he keeps doing it. But it's almost like a comedian's like just keeps doing the same material. I'm like, that's not the point. That's kind of not what you're supposed to be doing, Donald.
The BBC were just like beside themselves that they got an interview with Trump. And there was a lot of coverage of that today, sort of talking about the NATO deal, him saying that like joint defence is like fine as a thing. But he got asked by the BBC correspondent, Gary O'Donoghue, who's been out in Washington for a while, and said, does he trust Putin? And there's like a 3 second gap and he goes, I trust almost nobody. And you're like, it was kind of a bit, it was quite sad, to be honest. I did feel a little bit sad.
Are you joking?
I did. Because you just sort of go,
what?
Oh my God.
Listen.
Go on. No, say like two more sentences.
He hands
about
your
that.
Football club one trophy and all of that. And,
like,
aww. I thought the detail of the phone call was funnier because Gary O'Donoghue said that he was having an afternoon nap and he got woken up. And it was one of Trump's top aides basically saying, hey, we've got the president for you. And he took the call and then he accidentally hung up on them. And then they called him back. And in his defense, he was on the Today program at like 10 past 8 this morning, which is like 3 a.m. Washington time. But, you know, he was sort of saying it was supposed to be a 5 minute call. It turned into a 20 minute call. And then even as they took the phone away from Trump, apparently he was still talking. So you sort of imagine this phone being pulled away as he's like sort of still carrying on his conversation. I'd just love to know if there wasn't someone there like literally yanking the phone away. How long would he have carried on talking?
Yeah.
Well, MAGA's been splitting up on a lot of issues this week. One being the Epstein files and the existence or non-existence of those. Because all sides of MAGA have been saying in the run-up to the election and everything that one of the things they would do is release the Epstein files, and now they're not. It seems incriminating that probably Trump's got something to do with it if he's now denying that it doesn't exist. Loads of people are going in different ways.
It's such a rabbit hole, man. It's like you go into it and it's like, it's just so many wild conspiracy theories and all this sort of stuff. And the problem you've got is that like the Trump administration were like, we're the most transparent government in history. Did this whole like thing about like, oh, we're handing you this stuff, which was all public available. And now it's quite funny to see all these absolute nutso commentators suddenly realize, wait on a second, like he's not doing what he said he was going to do. And the fact that Pam Bondi's getting in the neck, she's mad, Pam Bondi. She stole a dog once.
Is that the maddest thing she's done?
She stole a dog and she renamed it.
So Trump dominates headlines again, which is usually terrible news for everyone, except our resident picture researcher, Queenie.
He's my favourite.
Yeah, and he is the gift that keeps on giving. Any pictures of Trump this week that caught your eye?
Many. I print them out and I put them on my wall. No, but we talked about it briefly in the intro. The FIFA Club World Cup.
Yeah.
Is that the right one?
Yeah. It's hard to remember because it's so insignificant.
It's not a competition.
It's like, oh, the 50 meter swimming badge.
When you steal stuff really, really rankles people, that's always fun to just let them go. I'm really,
I'm glad that that's how you're experiencing this. It's good. Anyway, the funny thing that happened was Trump not leaving the stage when Chelsea won and were doing their lifting the trophy. Mm. Someone from FIFA tried to get him off stage. He stayed there. Then Cole Palmer got really annoyed.
I'm not convinced that Cole Palmer was annoyed. I don't think so. I think he has two modes, happy and confused. And when he's playing football, he's happy. And everything else that happens in life, he's confused by, as a lot of interviews have borne out. And I think he didn't know who Donald Trump was.
Eventually, they photoshopped him out.
I mean, it was a pretty bad Photoshop, but they kind of just like airbrushed him out, didn't they?
It's really good.
It's just funny to see them all be like, is he staying? Rhys James, the captain, asking, be like, are you staying?
They're like, we don't know you. We don't like you.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a kid who blows out another kid's birthday candles, but he wasn't invited to the party and then he takes the whole cake home.
Well, they got the replica, haven't they?
They've got the paper mache version.
Trump's going to keep the original.
The actual one is in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite fitting for Chelsea because basically they're taking like an alternative backup, which for a team that has about 50 players in their books, to basically be having something which is a replacement and ready to go fits quite well.
Chelsea are on the way home. They might not be taking the original trophy with them, but they might actually be taking Trump with them because he has officially rubber stamped his state visit.
Maybe the real trophy is the friends we made along the way. The friends being Trump.
They genuinely don't have a clue who he is. Like, he'll be on the plane and they'll be like asking him to get them another drink.
Is he the new social media manager?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Trump probably can't wait to see Keir Starmer on his state visit. As he said this week, he really likes him, even though he's a liberal. That was common shock news to most Labour MPs. Queenie, do you think Unite would apply the word liberal to the rest of his party? Say, Angela Rayner?
Well, this has been interesting this week because for anyone who didn't hear, Unite, which is the biggest workers' union in the UK, they've passed a motion to suspend Angela Rayner's membership, which is a huge deal. And they've also passed a motion to reconsider its relationship with Labour. It's a big deal because Unite are huge funders of the Labour Party. So it's a threat to funding. And on Rayner's side, it's a sort of threat to her symbolism as an MP, as like someone for the working people. I wouldn't say that if the workers' union is going against the Labour Party, that the workers' union considers the Labour Party to be liberal. But, you know, I have things to say about it.
I thought the funniest detail was that she's already resigned from Unite, though, hasn't she? So.
Well, she said she did, but on the recorded list of who was the members, I think it was end of May, May 29th was the last time they looked. She was still on it the last time it was recorded.
Right.
So I think she's just been like, I wasn't your friend anymore anyway. When the accusations came out. This has all been, I think, headed by the Birmingham bin strike. Has anyone been across that?
Daily updates. Always keeping up with it, man.
Yeah. Well, according to the union, Labour were planning to propose up to £8,000 worth of pay cuts to some workers.
Imagine being undone by bins, man. That's the thing.
Yeah.
People care so much about bins.
I think because Rayner sided with Liz Kendall against disabled people and for bad employers against striking workers. They were like, well, fucking taking our money somewhere else. I think another interesting thing about this, Unite seemed to be the first union to impose some sort of sanctions on Labour, but today, 22 trade unions had signed a statement in support of the right to protest following a few charges for some of the people that got arrested after the prescription of Palestine Action. So it seems like a couple of dominoes are falling and Labour's in a more precarious situation because of it, because it threatens their funding.
Yeah. I don't think they care too much about being a classic Labour Party. You know, that's not really their style.
Yeah.
It does seem odd that the unions aren't exactly joining in, but...
Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty powerful now, Angela Rayner. Like she's like, there was a thing last week about when it had the Labour summer party and people were saying that she was making her moves to get her face around to as many MPs as possible. And like, she's been given this office of Deputy Prime Minister, which is like quite a big deal. But I did like that they said she was going to model the office on John Prescott's office. Which you think, is she getting the same curtains? Is it the design? Like, I was thinking, what would John Prescott, would he just be like, I want the chairs in the same leather as the second Jag? I feel that's the furthest he'd go in terms of design of his office.
Yeah. Jack, what sort of reception do you think Trump's going to get when he comes over?
Well, it won't be as bad as the one that he got in, what was it, 2017, where everyone was sort of kicking off.
Yeah.
Do you not think?
I don't know. It's in Windsor Castle. I think as much as people want to kick off, I don't think people can be bothered to travel to Windsor. If it's in the middle of London, fair enough.
My favourite bit is that Charles wanted it to be a lot later. Charles was trying to kick the can down the road because he obviously can't bear the thought of having to see him. And Keir Starmer pulled rank on King Charles because the government get to decide when state visits take place. And he said, no, it's going to be now, or it's going to be on this day in September because Parliament's in recess. So therefore, all these calls to have Trump address Parliament and have Labour MPs be rude to him, just all that goes away for Starmer. So he's going to be pretty happy about that.
Trump didn't seem that bothered about having to do a speech to them, to be honest.
No, I don't think that's his forte.
I almost feel like in the same way that all Chelsea players don't know who Donald Trump is, Donald Trump would not understand who any of those people stood in front of him are. Mm. You know what I mean?
I genuinely don't think more than 30% of the Chelsea players on that stage knew who he was. Like, to them, he might as well have been, you know, had like Salt Bae walking around at the World Cup or in the pitch at the World Cup final.
He gets more recognition.
I genuinely think more footballers could name Salt Bae than Donald Trump.
I wish I was a footballer. That sounds incredible.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome back to In The News This Week. It's time for round two now, where we've each brought a story from the past week that we think would be perfect for round two of the TV show. Jack, what story have you got for us this week? And good luck topping Emerald's animals pulling grass out of their ass.
Mm. Well, mine is animal related.
Fantastic.
I was going to do a little animal roundup. So imagine with round two, you've got, I haven't got news for you, backboards. You've got four different animals. And I'm going to give you the options and then you can choose which one you want to go for. So you've got a seal in London, a pigeon in Northampton, a miniature schnauzer in Worcestershire, and a pygmy hippo in Thailand.
Is it a trick question because it's Seal, the singer who was at Wimbledon.
That one is.
Oh, is it actually?
Actually, not an actual Seal.
Is it Seal, the singer? Really? I said that as a joke.
No, Mike's nailed it straight away because it is quite a simple up one out. It's not really an up one out. It's like they're all animals apart from Seal, which actually isn't an animal. But they're all little stories that I was going to cover, basically.
This is amazing.
No need to now.
Mike's Judy Murray'd it.
Mike's got it.
Okay, so I think we should point out it's called a Judy Murray because of the time Judy Murray came on Have I Got News for You? And absolutely smashed the missing words around. I think she got nearly all of them right.
It's that easy. But I'm going to quickly round up the stories, basically. Seal in London, I put this in. It baffled me in the Wimbledon final. I think if we covered a little bit of Wimbledon or the sports thing, we'd say, who was the first person that Jannik Sinner went to hug in his box? Because he hugged Seal before he hugged his own mum. And they asked Jannik Sinner and was like, why is Seal in your box? And his answer was, he's obviously an incredible singer, but most importantly, he's a very, very nice man to be around.
That's lovely.
That was his answer.
It's a very low bar to get in his box.
Well, a couple of Grammys, I guess. You've got
to write Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah, I reckon that's pretty high bar.
Yeah, that's a pretty high bar, to be honest. Yeah, fair.
Little oopbo off the back of this, when I Googled Seal, it did come up with another story, which was dumped chicken wings, see police seal off park. Bit of fun. Basically, the police sealed off the park because they thought they'd found a dead body because the smell was so bad. They set up a blue forensic tent and it was just a bag of rotten chicken wings.
Oh, wow.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Not to be bleak, I'd expect the police to have a bit more of a, you know, trained nose than that.
The fact they sent up a forensic tent.
Really good use of police time.
Pygmy hippo in Thailand, Mudeng's birthday. If we remember Mudeng, first birthday. Not as cute anymore.
Wow.
But
all right, Jack.
There are still people who are keeping up with Mudeng called Mooniacs. Like there was a couple of Americans that have flown over. Ooh. And she got a 20-kilogram birthday cake.
That's heavier than she is, I'm sure.
There was miniature schnauzer in Worcestershire. There was a 3-year-old set to become the youngest competitor at Crufts, which is pretty impressive. She's not even at school yet. Her mum said her first word was doggy.
That's not true.
No, it's made up. 100% made up.
My first word was proletariat. Whenever anyone's first word is something that isn't mama or dada, that's not true.
Yeah.
And the last thing, there is a bright green pigeon in Northampton that tourists are flocking to, according to
flocking.
These.
According to who?
That's nice.
According to an American website that I read this on, which was very funny to read because they were baffled. Basically, there's this really bright green pigeon that someone's clearly died. Right. And they've got this guy, Mike Alabone, the expert, who is, if I wait for this for a job, optics editor for Birdwatch magazine.
We got to get him as a guest publication.
He's in charge of the binocs. That's all he's doing. Optics editor. Insane. What a job. And he said the pigeon's colour is unlikely to have any natural causes. Cheers, Mike.
Thank you for your expertise, insight. Mike.
He also said the big bird, apparently Sesame Street, not its natural habitat. He also told the paper that.
I like this commitment to specificity.
No, he didn't do the big bird. I made that up. But he did say that it's unlikely the bird's diet had any factor in the coloration. Again, get this guy on spring watch because the knowledge this man has.
That's brilliant.
And the final detail is the fact that the RSPCA previously warned against the trend of dyeing pigeons blue and pink for gender reveal parties. So my question to you is, if at a gender reveal party, the pigeon is green, what kind of baby are you having? Other than one with an extra limb. I don't know what else it would be telling you.
Greta Thunberg, maybe.
A militant eco-warrior.
I'd be so proud.
A net zero baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, a net zero baby, which essentially is just not a baby.
Ed Miliband this week. He was a net zero baby. Thanks, Jack. I love that. I'm sorry, I'm still in shock that Seal was the answer.
You're so happy yourself. You love it.
Yeah, I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased. Queenie, what about you? What have you got for us for round two?
So, Sir Peter Jackson has embarked on a multi-million dollar quest to resurrect the moa, a 10 to 12 feet tall bird that went extinct 500 years ago. Oh. My only conclusion to this is that he knows something we don't, or he's shooting a new film in which he doesn't want to use CGI. But he's teamed up with US scientists to try to genetically engineer the bird that was wiped out in New Zealand. It's just an emu. Obviously, it's Jurassic. It's cool.
It's a big emu.
Did you say 10 to 12 feet?
It is the tallest bird to have ever walked the earth.
That's what I'm looking for in the dating scene, to be fair. 12 foot bird.
That's what you've put on your Hinge profile. Seeking mower.
Seeking
mower. Emus aren't 10 to 12 feet, though.
They are big.
Well, technically, this is what one of the engineers said. Technically, given enough time, I think they can probably do what they say they're going to do, which is genetically engineer an emu to have some mower-like traits.
That's not the
same. So I'm sort of quoting the scientist.
I like the idea of someone seeing a horse and being like, why have you just got a big dog? Why is this, you know, what's the point?
That's what Peter Jackson called them.
It's all the same thing.
When Peter Jackson was making Lord of the Rings, he called the horses big dogs. So you go, everyone, yeah. Riders on Rohan, get on the big dogs.
Yeah. What were the wargs?
Big rats.
Bigger dogs.
This feels like a huge waste of time.
Yeah. Big time.
They're the same people who did the direwolf thing, aren't they? Again, direwolf, big dog. Oh. So it's another classification of like just a bigger version of something. You know, you want to see something where they create like a dinosaur, like an actual different species, you know?
It's also good as well, because what I love about it is it's always the newspapers trying to make it sound more interesting. And it absolutely sells the science down the river, because they go, yeah, we're going to bring back woolly mammoths and stuff like that. And then you're like, oh, no, it's
a woolly mouse.
It's just a mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing we do on the show. And Paul gets very annoyed.
It's another animal story. And I feel like this news week has been a little bit bleak in terms of stories. Mm. It's a thing on the show, though, like where we will have to say, like, ah, we've got too many animal stories.
Yeah.
Because they're so easy to go for.
I'd say that's the same for pictures when we're doing caption competition. When I'm scouring the entire internet for something we haven't used, you know I'm having a hard week if I put some animal pictures in the pack. None of them ever get chosen.
We're essentially the Noah's Ark of topical comedy, aren't we? Limiting the animals. You can only take so many.
Thanks for that, Queenie. Nice. I've got one this week. Okay, it's sort of animals and it's sort of not at the same time.
Yes.
So if I asked you to, if you were up for a bit of Nui Katsu, what would you say?
Nui Katsu?
A bit of Nui Katsu.
Is it a new menu item at Wagamama?
I wish it was.
Katsu? No?
Nui Katsu, it's a Japanese word
that
means doing things with stuffed animals. No, not like that, Jack. It's absolute Gen Z nonsense. And it's made me furious.
Come on.
Yeah.
Lay it on us. It's happening with the kids.
According to the Times this week, Gen Zers, especially in Japan, have become obsessed with cuddly toys, or as they call them, plushies. And they take them out for special days where they can, like, spoil them and take photographs of them and put them on social media.
Spoil them.
Yeah, that's what they call it. Like, spoil them. I really, really push the boat out. To the point where one Japanese hotel has gone viral because it's now offering guests an extra service for their cuddly toys, which includes, for an extra 300 yen a night, you get a mini bed and mini pajamas for your plushy toy. And loads of these plushy enthusiasts are going to the hotel and staying there. And I just, Queenie, I guess I'll just go ask, what the hell?
As the spokesperson for everyone under 40 in the entire world, which I've appointed myself, I'd say two things. The Times really know what's going on with young people. That's where we get all of our information. So I'm not surprised that they've picked up on this, which is definitely happening everywhere. And two, I get it. People our age can't have kids. We're like, can't do that. Too expensive. World's going to die. Let's give some love to stuffed animals.
I'll take my stuffed animal for a 3-course meal.
Yeah.
I think it's just good to know that every generation has freaks. It's like
the freaks are alive and well.
You know? I think it's a whole generation of
nature
them.
Is healing.
But it's Gen Z. It's like, but it's classic, isn't it? It's like,
what?
They said,
come on,
Gen Z don't drink anything. Gen Z shunning alcohol. And then last week it was like Gen Z have turned to alcohol. It's like, no, that's, it was always going to happen.
That's just what people do.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, they just always need something to write about. Yeah. Like the next generation being weird.
Yeah.
In some way.
Would you guys ever do that?
What?
Treat my plushie?
Yeah. What would you treat your plushie to?
It's the weirdest sentence I've ever been asked, if I'm honest.
Mike, would you take a Warhammer model to a hotel? Be honest, go on.
Finally, we're getting to the serious end of things. Not only would I have. And it was a twin room in Manchester that I shared with my good friend Tom. The night before a tournament, we both stayed up late finishing our models.
Couldn't get to sleep because you're so excited.
Genuinely, like, you're on the money.
You're there and you're, can you sleep? Oh, I can't sleep either.
Gen Z heroes, the pair of you.
I'm so excited.
It's genuinely like you're in the room.
You goon.
But yeah, Gen Z, total disgrace. Finally, it's time for round 3, the missing words round. I'm going to read you out some headlines from the past week, and you just need to fill in the missing words. First up, for the first time since 1923, it's now possible to what in France?
Decapitate your leaders. The last beheading was in the 70s, so that's a fun fact for you.
In the 1770s?
No, in the 1970s.
Yeah. Holy mother, they chopped someone's head off in the 1970s?
Yeah.
He tried to order oat milk in a latte.
Is it now possible to be polite to paying customers in France?
No, I don't think they'll ever let that happen.
Is it now possible to stop yourself from going hoi hoi in France? It's really hard not to do that. Is it now possible to wear a beret without looking like a twat in France? No, that isn't possible, is it? Look, I would still look like a twat.
It's definitely not going to be possible for you to go to France after this.
Yeah.
The answer is, for the first time since 1923, it's now possible to swim in La Seine in France.
The key word being there, possible.
Not advised.
Because, not advisable.
Because Thames Water have taken over in France.
Yeah, French Water give nearly as much of a shit as Thames Water do. Now they've opened some designated areas, 3 designated swimming areas. I think 1 non-smoking and 2 smoking. And they can go in those. So we posted this missing word around on our social media channels. And congratulations to It Callahan on Instagram, who made us laugh with their response when they said, for the first time since 1923, it's now possible to work a normal hour week without striking in France. Also, can I just say special shout out to political follower, Labour MP Chris Bryant, who obviously had too much time on his hands and spotted producer Diggory's lack of apostrophes on the post.
At least someone's policing it.
Yeah.
And they say politicians aren't doing
all they can for the public.
Yeah. Yeah, all that money going to good use. So follow Have I Got News For You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our missing word round when we post another one next week. Next, Northumberland man reveals he started wearing a Rod Stewart wig to what?
Is it to treat his blushy?
Northumberland man reveals he started wearing a Rod Stewart wig to deter lightning. Because he's already been struck.
That's pretty good.
Northumberland man reveals he started wearing a Rod Stewart wig to put him in the running as the new Sycamore Gap installation?
Jack,
I think people would go and see that.
Jack, you're so close. You're so close.
What is going on? Are you joking?
No way. What? How has that got anything to do with the Sycamore Gap tree?
Northumberland man reveals he started wearing a Rod Stewart wig to avoid being abused in public. This is Walter Rennick, who was wrongly accused of cutting down the Sycamore Gap tree and says he still gets so much abuse to this day that when he goes out in his local area, he's bought a Rod Stewart, not just any wig, a Rod Stewart wig, and he puts it on so people don't recognise him because he's bald.
And when things get a bit hairy, he gets hot legs. Classic.
In recent weeks, Rod Stewart's an interesting pick for someone who's, I want to be not divisive. I want to be someone who everyone loves.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Rod Stewart right now.
I also love the idea that just like Rod Stewart's hair is not so synonymous with Rod Stewart that you'd go, that's a Rod Stewart wig.
No,
you'd
be like, I pushed my gran over.
An 80-year-old woman's hair. That's what you've gone for.
And finally, man who keeps 7 million bees admits what?
Man who keeps 7 million bees admits he's buzzing about it.
Oh, that's better than the answer.
Thank you.
Is it man who keeps 7 million bees admits he only does it for the outfits? Or is it that he admits he's never actually counted them?
Yeah, it's just 7.
Man who keeps 7 million bees admits he's nearly got enough bees.
Is it man who keeps 7 million bees admits they can't really replace his ex-wife? He's tried.
Do you know what? You're not far away.
Shut up.
Is 8 million the size of like an adult woman?
Yeah. No. Man who keeps 7 million admits he needs 1 million more to really get the shape of his ex-wife.
It is wife related.
Wow.
The answer is, man who keeps 7 million bees admits his wife is allergic to bees.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Get a different hobby, dude.
There's so many other things to do.
That is the whole point, Queenie.
He doesn't like his wife. Classic.
He's going very 70s comedian.
Yeah, I never understood that. It's like, oh, I hate my wife. What?
This is Lawrence Edwards from Birmingham, who this week revealed to The Times that he keeps 7 million bees in hives in his garden, despite his wife Helen being allergic. And he told The Times, luckily our garden is long enough for her to never encounter the bees. Although he does also say, she got stung a couple of weeks ago and we spent the day in A&E where she had an adrenaline shot. It was pretty scary.
For you, mate. Sorry, Helen, if you're listening to this, do better.
Thank you for listening to In the News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's hattrick with 2 T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode.
Well, I'm off to go and farm myself a mower.
Nice. Good luck.
All right. See you later, guys. Bye.
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 In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.